It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and here on KETR, it is once again time for us to spend about 15 minutes and enjoy talking about the outdoors, like we've been doing for about 6 years every Saturday. Now, David Hansen was with us last week down at Tewakene. I tell you, the big news right now, as far as I'm concerned in fishing, is the catfish bite. I mean, they're catching them shallow. At Fork, they're beginning, not real hot and heavy yet, it's happening, some good-sized channel cat. If you remember last week, David was talking, we were talking about blue catfish, catching a lot, he's killing the blue, catching tons, limits of blues down there at Tewakene. But the channel cat had started moving shallow at Tewakene, some of the bigger ones, you know, the spawners, so David's going to be back with us today for a little bit and give us a little update. David, as always, thank you for being here, man.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Luke.
Well, can you give us a little update on is the blue catfish bite at Tewakene as good as it was when I was with you a couple weeks ago?
It's as good or better. I mean, awesome. It's one of those pitch to you win deals.
I like that, man. Good time to go and you know, for youngsters or oldsters, either one, you're going to get a lot of action, and you're going to leave there with a lot of fillets, I mean, to eat. You're going to have some, not only fun, but you're going to have some food, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is, if you're wanting to put something in the freezer for a family fish right now, is the time.
No doubt about it. Well, let's think about it. It's shallow water fishing, and as you detailed last week, folks, remember, you know, you can go to KETR.org and look for Luke Clayton's Outdoors. There's articles or shows that we've done archived from years ago, but you can, if you want to get some of David's tips from last week, KETR.org, local programs, Luke Clayton, and you can listen to last week's show. But David's using a Santee rig on these blue catfish. That's a rig that floats the bait up off the bottom. It anchors it down there, and then you got a 30-inch leader, and then it floats the bait up. Threadfin shad is the best for the blues, right, David?
Yes, sir. That, you know, they're spawning, the shad are spawning, they're running the banks where that wind's blowing in, just like the and the catfish are going in there to get them, just like everything else is. Yesterday we sat there, Luke, no joke, we caught hybrids, we caught stripers, we caught sand bass and largemouth bass plus the blue cat.
It, as the old saying goes, it don't get any better than that. So now, the channel cat, you're picking up some, you're telling me off air here, some 2 pound, 2.5 pound channel cat mixed in. Now that's, I'm thinking, now that's some of the spawners maybe that's moving in early, or it's a little early, right?
Well, a couple of them had eggs, the rest were males, but it's just going to get better, you know, little warmer, and they're just starting good, you know. It's just usually about the third week of April, really, before I get to start doing catching the better channel cat steady.
Uh-huh. When they really are May.
I mean May.
Yeah, right. which is coming up, you know, right close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that's good. That's a good update on the fishing. And folks, before we get David off the line, we're going to let him leave his contact information if you want to learn more about catching catfish down there at Tewakene. But David, you're an outdoor cook deluxe, and I want us to shift gears, you and I, a little bit. This is kind of an impromptu thing, but that's kind of the way our outdoor radio shows go anyway. They're not scripted. I did an article for a magazine talking about, now this is something that's a little different, and it can be challenging, making venison barbecue. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've learned through the years how to make venison barbecue where it's very good eating. But the thing about let's you and I and our guests, let's just all talk about venison barbecue. Now, I've had some what people call venison barbecue that was not barbecue. I didn't like it. But it's got to be tender. And the key, David, have you ever made venison barbecue yourself out of venison and pork?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. I usually take the neck roast.
Oh yeah.
And put it in a slow cooker, one of them. What do you call it? Slow cooker.
Slow cooker. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And cook it down, and get it, you know, falling apart, tender, and then add a little barbecue sauce to it.
Mm-mm. I didn't know where we were going with this, but I had a feeling we were kindred spirits on this because a lot of folks do. They think that the neck meat is all about grinding up for sausage or chili. It is good for that, mm-hmm. but because of the bone and the collagen in the, you know, in the bone, you know, bone adds flavor to meat. It just does.
Yeah.
That is some of the best barbecue. I'll say this. You better, when you get it cooked, you chop it across the grain. It's going to be a little stringy. But a lot of people waste that. And I cook it, David, in a slow, well, very much the same way. Now, a slow cooker mm-hmm. will get it done, and it does a good job. But I got this smoker called a Smokin' Tex electric smoker. Mm-hmm. And I'll season it up. And whether it's a neck roast or a ham roast or whatever, or a whole ham, but I will, say it's the neck roast. This doesn't lend itself well, but say it's a meaty piece of meat. I'll punch holes in it with a fillet knife, poke slivers of jalapeno down in it, and then mm-hmm. poke garlic down in there too. And then I'll use a rub, put a rub on it. I use one that's called OBQ. Actually, OB that makes it, OB Obermark's been our guest, but it's a kind of a, it's called a sweet heat. But it's a little spice to it, but it's also some brown sugar, you can tell. Rub that on there. I'll smoke it about 2 or 3 hours at about 225. And then I'll the reason for it being in the pan is to hold all the juices, you know, so it won't dry out. So, and then I'll put some barbecue sauce on it and put heavy foil over that pan, David, and put it in that smoking tex and set it at about 190 to 200. I usually plan this where I'm doing this about 9 o'clock at night, and then I'll go to sleep. I'll let it roll all night, and then if it's like a whole ham, I'll let it go till maybe 15-18 hours at slow temperature, and then pull that bone out and chop it. But the bacon, I don't know, it's important to put the bacon in it, because to me it is, because you know, it's so dry that bacon will kind of self-baste as it goes. And if you happen to be a hog hunter like me and you, and you got some wild pork, David, put some pork in there with the venison when it's cooking, you know.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. add that fat in there and make it, like you say, moist and even more scrumptious.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. I have had people try to call it a barbecue. If you want something that you're probably not going to enjoy eating, you take a venison roast and you put it on some fire, and you don't cook it slow with moisture and salt. You know, it's just, you can eat it, I guess.
But yeah, it's dry and tough.
Dry and tough. It's just the nature of venison. But I thought that would be, get off on a little bit different tangent mm-hmm. today, but barbecue in there, there's a lot of ways to put game meat to use. You and our listeners may be interested in knowing this. About a week ago, got a buddy, a mutual friend of mine and yours, but he lives over around Miller Grove. He's still got a bunch of small pigs. By small, I'm talking 30 to 40 pounders that were trapped. But anyway, we went down there and harvested about eight of them. I think it was eight. There's four of us, me and a couple of buddies and him. And we proceeded. My buddy is a barbecue man. He feeds the homeless a lot with pork and stuff, you know, game meat. And there was six of those hogs that we put on his big old smoker. And these hogs that we killed were a little bigger than the ones that are left. They were, some of them was 125, 140 pounds, you know.
Mm.
But cooked those. He cooked those 18 hours and chopped the meat. And, oh, man, I'm going to tell you what, put on a hamburger bun, David.
Heavenly.
Heavenly is right. It was. They were so tasty. But there's a lot of ways that you can put pork to good use. Now, something else. I took some of this. I've got a sister and brother-in-law down at Lake Fork that just they're older folks, and but they don't get out and hunt anymore. But they love venison and they love wild pork. I took probably 3 gallon bags of this stuff, and I about half of it I seasoned with for fajita meat, and I used it's called Fiesta. You can find it anywhere, but to my way of thinking, it's the best fajita seasoning there is. It's not too salty, but I seasoned up a pan of that, probably half of it. And then I've got this vacuum sealer about barbecue, and what I did there was just I used just season it any way you like to, but I used some dry garlic and, you know, different seasonings, and then I put that up used that vacuum sealer to seal up maybe a pound bags of that, and that stuff, David, you can do it like that, and that'll keep for, oh, gosh, I mean, you know, I'm sure it'd keep a year if it.
Oh yeah,
you know, with that, but lots of ways to there's lots of ways to put that game to use, isn't it?
Oh man, there is one other little deal that I want to mention. We killed a hog several years ago, man, a couple good buddies of mine, and took it to his grandmother to cook. And these country folks, she's still cooking in a wood burning stove.
And pineapple juice.
And pineapple juice. It caramelized the outside layer, kind of like a baked ham.
Uh-huh.
But the flavor, and of course, you know, when you got a...
Any way you cook, was it kind of a, well, you know, telling what the temperature was, but probably wasn't real high temperature, was it?
It was a slow, you know, she cooked it all.
Man, I'm going to be doing that because I do have some pork roast in there, in the freezer. David, we are about out of time, buddy. How about leaving a I'd like to make sure that folks can contact you because you're an excellent source of fishing information for anybody. You know, and you're right here in northeast Texas with all most of our listeners. So if they want to call you, what's a good way to reach you?
Reach me anytime at 903-268-7391.
Okay. Folks, our guest is David Hansen, if you just happened to have tuned in and didn't catch who we were visiting with this week. But the Channel Catfish Bite, David, is just a matter of weeks or days away. Within 2 weeks, would you think they'll be up shallow and you know, very dependable?
I'm thinking so. I'm looking for it any time. You know, I'd rather catch blues myself, but when them channel cats start doing their thing, it's fun. And, you know, the action's one-on-one. Instead of having 10 poles out, you've got one. You're sitting there holding, waiting on that bite, and it's pretty intense sometimes.
I know it is. Well, and I'm with you. There's, to my way of thinking, and this includes all fish, there is no better eating in fresh water than a blue catfish that's going to weigh between 2 and 10 pounds. It's just snow white fillets. It's really as good as it gets. Well, David, again, thank you for being here, man. And we'll, from time to time, you know, we'll make sure that you keep everybody tuned in on the catfishing down at Tawakoni. And it's kind of the premier lake in the state. We'll get you back. How about it?
That sounds good, Luke. Looking forward to it.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoke In Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.